Please be seated. The times were hard. The government had become this huge, out-of-control bureaucracy that really did do some important things, like the military and the justice system and infrastructure. But the government was hopelessly out of touch with the people. And the religious establishment, well, it wasn't much better. It seemed sadly focused on what was, so focused that it had little or no vision on what might yet be. When voices of possibility spoke out, they were vilified and sometimes punished, especially if they called into question the decisions of the government. Some voices of hope arose, but just as quickly they fell as questions arose about the character of the speaker, about their ability to deliver what they promised, or about the transgressions of their past. And as a result, apathy was the prevailing ethos. It was a deep and seemingly unbreakable apathy. Sounds sort of familiar, doesn't it? But what I've described has nothing to do with us or today, although it certainly could. It actually refers to Jesus' time, or more specifically, the time of Matthew's community. The pervasive apathy of that time was the idea that things are just too broken to really get any better, so why bother trying? That apathy was also an implied acceptance that things like poverty and hunger and homelessness and injustice have no real answers and thus no real hope. Maybe that's how the so-called wise and intelligent ones that Jesus speaks of, maybe that's how they wanted things to be. These are the folks who knew life, real life. They lived it. They know what life is and that we really can't change it. Our fate is our fate. So why try to make a difference or try to make things any better? The truth is, we can only tend to our little part of the world, our own personal space. And we might as well just leave the rest up to God or fate or maybe even someone else. But along comes Jesus. Along comes Jesus calling folks to a different way, a different path, a way of possibility, a way of hope, which might be different than those folks in the marketplace expected. A place where your worth and your value wasn't dependent on the yoke of Moses' law that had grown from 10 commandments to over 600 prohibitions and rules that had become so oppressive and invariably brought with it a sense of guilt and failure. So that message of Jesus, it resonated. Of course it did. It resonated with the little ones, as Matthew calls them, the new followers who weren't content with the way things were and were willing to at least try to make a difference. And for me, that's the context in which Jesus' words make so much sense for the disciples then, for the disciples today. Come unto me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And I know good and well that when most of us hear those words, we have this visual image of coming to Jesus that has to do with freedom from our burdens, from life's hard labors and struggles, with a sense of peace and rest in the arms of Christ. And I so wish that were true. But you and I know that that's not our experience with life. And I really don't think it's what Jesus is trying to say in this text. Because following Jesus does not insulate us from life. Instead, it throws us smack dab in the middle of it. into some sometimes awfully messy and difficult places. And Jesus' words are an invitation, not to remove the yokes and burdens of life, but rather to replace them with a different one, his own. Now, although I've taught middle school, I have never raised oxen. And I don't know whether this is true or not, but I read it on the internet, so it must be. But from what I understand, it was very common to yoke together a large ox with a smaller one so that the smaller one could be broken in. The larger ox would bear all or most of the weight, but the smaller one would be learning so that as he grew, he'd know what to do. And whether that's true or not, that speaks to me. Because the yoke of Christ isn't one where we carry the load with Jesus walking behind us, steering the plow. The yoke of Christ is one where we become yoked with him, side by side. Not immune from the labors and burdens of life, but where those labors and burdens are shared by one who is stronger and greater. Because no matter the times, no matter how difficult the times are, life is about being yoked together. Because life cannot be lived alone. And I know that it's tempting to view our own times and our own struggles and our own situations as unique. But they're really not. And today's gospel offers us a choice. It is the way of apathy and hopelessness, or it's the way of possibility. Because the issue of life is not whether we're going to carry burdens, but instead is about what shall we be burdened with. It's not about whether we'll be yoked or not, but to what or who shall we be yoked? And if the burdens that you feel that you carry feel too heavy, then maybe it's time to reassess what you're carrying. Maybe it's time to quit carrying those things that drain us and suck the life out of us. Maybe it's time to quit carrying those things that consume us, but in the grand scheme of things really don't matter. Or maybe it's time to let go of the harnesses that we create for ourselves, or that the world forges for us with the world's demands and pressures. That doesn't mean life is going to be easy or carefree or without burdensome times. The gospel invitation is simply about a different yoke, a different way, a yoke of possibility that things can be better. Where in the field you don't have to be perfect to measure up, but where you can think and learn and make mistakes and hopefully over time help to bear the load for another. It's an easier yoke than that yoke of apathy. It's the yoke of new life, new energy, new joy for us. And through us, where we reject the apathy of the age and help make God's kingdom known, even here, even now. And where the seemingly insurmountable struggles of our world suddenly become life-giving callings when we dare to take up his yoke and follow. God love you. Amen.